Hello, and welcome back to Mastering the Menopause Transition Summit. I'm your host, Dr. Sharon Stills, and I know I sound like a broken record, but I have another great interview for you. Today, we are going to talk about supplements and the survival paradox, and don't worry if you don't know what that is, because you will know when we're done with this interview. We're going to be talking about breast cancer and environmental risks and prevention. And so this is going to be chock full of a lot of good scientific information. So you might want to grab your pens and your paper for this one, because there's going to be a lot we're going to be throwing at you. And I have a very special guest to do that with, Dr. Isaac Elias. He's an expert in the field of integrative medicine, focuses on cancer, detoxification, and complex conditions. He's a respected physician, researcher, best-selling author, educator, and mind-body practitioner. He partners with leading research institutes, including Harvard, NIH, Columbia, and others, to co-author studies on integrative therapies for cancer, heavy metal toxicity, and others. He's the founder and medical director of Amitabha Medical Clinic in Santa Rosa, California, where he has pioneered the use of therapeutic apheresis as an adjunctive blood filtration treatment for chronic degenerative conditions. Oh, I want to know about that. Welcome to the summit. It's really an honor to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be on this summit.
Very welcome. As we were chatting before we came on, I said, you're the Galectin 3 guy, aren't you? I remember learning and studying from you years and years ago when I was early in my clinical practice. So I'm like fangirl, super excited to have you here. So for those who don't know you, maybe just tell us a little bit about how you got on this path and why you're doing what you're doing.
Yes, so I'm a native of Israel, and I am in my early 60s. And I started my journey in the healing art as a teenager in Korea. My father was a civil engineer, where I learned Taekwondo and yoga. And since then, I was interested in yoga and yoga therapy. And when I went to medical school in Israel, I was already a yoga teacher. I was learning shiatsu and Chinese medicine. And when I got my medical degree, finished my internship, I came to the United States. I did a Master of Science in Chinese medicine. So I'm also a licensed acupuncturist. And over the decades, I learned different medical and healing system, what I call in a vertical way, each system a few years, classical homeopathy and herbs, etc. And I also got very engaged in meditation, was focused on healing, very engaged, meaning for 20 years, I would go away for about 2 months a year to meditate in the mountains. And for 10 years, I did a half day retreat and half day worked. And I got to treat the most legendary meditation masters in the Himalayas. And this all together is expressed in my new book, The Survival Paradox, where I finally put decades of experience and studies into this concept that we'll talk about, very relevant for women's health. And in addition, I'm an active researcher. I have NIH grants around Galectin 3, this protein that we'll also discuss, and how it affects every field in our health. My grants, for example, are on sepsis, actually, which is very, very relevant for COVID, but and on the cytokine storm. So within all of this, I was always interested in women's health, treated a lot of breast cancer, hundreds and hundreds of patients for decades, and really recognized early on the need to treat women differently in different ages. And I was just mentioning to you, we created the first gender age-based multinutrient that was based on an herbal formula. One formula was more for nourishment and production of blood and energy in the childbearing years, where a woman has built a family and has career and is a lot of things to do. And the second formula is more about nourishments when estrogen level goes down. So even our supplements are built around this concept of understanding the movement. And women are so attuned to movement and so sensitive. And it's hard to keep our rhythms in a world like ours these days from a demand point of view, from a pace point of view. So when rhythms get disrupted, our body doesn't like it, and especially women's health doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm. We are rhythmical creatures, that's for sure. So I'm curious, what does this mean, the survival paradox, the title of your new book?
So the survival paradox is really a paradigm shift in our thinking about health and disease. We are all aware, especially in our field, that inflammation drives almost every disease, chronic and acute. But we didn't recognize that inflammation is really not the cause of any disease. It's an outcome. And what causes inflammation is a survival paradox. And what do I mean? We are built to survive. Every cell in our body is built to survive. Every organ, every tissue, us as people, community, countries, our earth. And as a result of this survival response, which is automated within us, it is what causes us inflammation, struggle, and organ degeneration. So because it's built within us, it's automated. So our immediate response to the survival paradox is an automated autonomic nervous system response, the sympathetic system. We either fight, creating inflammation, and the result, for example, in COVID is a cytokine storm, which is really what kills patients, or we fight, or we flight, we run away, we hide, we create fibrosis, we create areas of microenvironment, areas of microenvironment where cancer can grow, where biofilm can be built, and where there can be an area that the body is not in control very much, where things can grow out of our control. And the classical tissue for this, because it's really a fat-based, is the breast, where things can be stored and hidden, and suddenly you wake up one morning and there is breast cancer. So when we really understand this, then we can see what does the survival, inappropriate survival response do to us, and how, what can we do about it? And we talked about the nervous system, but within minutes, our body biochemically turned into survival response. And the protein that drives it is galectin-3. So galectin-3 is a bus that takes different inflammatory compound, sticky molecules that get tumor cells to stick together, a molecule that suppresses the immune system, and a molecule that damage the brain, and it drives them to the area of injury. And it tries to fix things as part of survival. We always want to do the best. When we are young, we can survive without creating inflammation, right? We get a scar, we get a cut, it heals without a scar. When we are older, we get a scar. So when we heal, we produce more inflammation and we produce more scarring, which is a dysfunctional tissue. So when we understand this, we understand that the real journey is to learn how to ameliorate the damages of the ongoing survival response. And then on the deepest level, how can we transform the survival response?
So a couple of things you mentioned that I want to backtrack to for the listeners. So first, with galectin-3, could you just speak for the ladies listening, like what they should ask their doctors for and what they should want their levels to look like so they can get that measured?
Yes, of course. So if we look at, galectin-3, as I said, is a carbohydrate binding protein. So it has an amino acid, a peptide side, and it has a side that catches carbohydrate. So it catches different ligands, like inflammatory ligands. It binds and creates a pentamer, and then it creates a lattice formation, a coating. So the level of galectin-3 can change based on the population. So some people will have high levels, some people will have low levels, and we don't address galectin-3 based on levels, because galectin-3 needs to be addressed for anyone who is breathing, especially if you're over the age of 40, because over time it will go up, and it innately will cause survival-driven damage. For some people, because of their genetic predisposition or because they have an inflammatory process, a struggling process internally, a physical scar, an infection, an emotional trauma, a multi-generational trauma, which they are trying to fix, they will generate more galectin-3, and these people will need more modified cytoprospectin. So basically, addressing galectin-3 is at the basis of really of supporting longevity, and it will enhance different treatments. If we look, for example, in women's health, we'll see studies that modified cytoprospectin is synergistic with adriamycin, is synergistic with Taxol, is synergistic with radiation therapy, if we're talking about cancer. Why? Because it allows us to expose the damaged tissue, the cancer tissue. It allows the immune system to respond better, and it reduces the damaging inflammation. And so this level happens on a cellular level, on a tissue level, and on an organ level.
So women can just ask their doctors to run a galectin 3.
And it's approved by every medical insurance. It's inexpensive, and it's formally used for heart failure because this is a FDA approval in 2008. Since then, the company who developed went out of business, so they didn't get other approvals. But the safe levels of galectin 3 are much, much lower than what the test shows. The test is again for patients who already have heart failure, which usually have kidney damage and they are not clearing galectin 3 properly. So for me, any galectin 3 over 12 is a concern already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been running it at regular labs ever since I first heard you teach about it many, many years ago. So, and you mentioned modified citrus pectin. Could you just elaborate on that a little?
Of course. So pectin is a long chain of carbohydrate of a certain sugar, not glucose, that is present in the inner peel, in the albedo, the white part of the citrus fruit. And it is a very high molecular weight. It doesn't get absorbed. It can be in the gut. It can help as a fiber. It can absorb it can bind to some lipids. When we modify it very specifically and we create a modified pectin that can be absorbed, and the specific pectin that had all the research, now 80 published papers, is called Pectosol because there's a lot of borrowed science over my work over the decades. It gets absorbed into the bloodstream, and there it becomes a galectin 3 blocker. But it also removes heavy metals, and it also regulates and enhances normal immune function. So when you take modified citrus pectin, you will see the benefit in a very wide range of diseases naturally, because inflammation and survival response drives every disease. So for example, we just published a multi-center trial on prostate cancer, which has a lot of similarities hormonally with breast cancer. And so this is post initial local treatment, just like a woman removes breast cancer locally and a man removes their prostate. And then the cancer starts coming back, PSA starts coming back. When we give the modified citrus pectin, we see benefits in 80% of the patient, age zero. So why? Not because it kills the cancer, because it changes the environment and allows the body to deal with the cancer. And in this sense, we have a lot of women with breast health and breast cancer who have benefited from modified citrus pectin. And so I explain this as part of the simple supplement solution for the survival protein. The other deeper solutions is how can we reduce the survival response by becoming less toxic, by letting go of things that create a survival response for us. The main one connecting back to our heart. And from a physiological level, how can we remove different obstacles to normal metabolism, which is, you know so well, it's critical for estrogen metabolism. And it's critical for thyroid metabolism. It's critical for outcome of health. And in this sense, in addition to the life pace and the EMF and radiation and stress and lack of sleep, we are bombarded with pesticides and toxins. Bombarded, and we were almost trained. It's interesting, I was just recognizing it 2 years ago, and then I'm very active now in developing preparations for removal of pesticides and glyphosate very successfully. I just got the first subject from the clinical trial, amazing results, but I realized, wow, we have been dripped, we have been brainwashed to accept that a little bit of toxic material is okay because it's only a little bit. And you know what? I don't think it's okay. So we really have, as part of addressing our well-being from good hydration and good sleep, which is critical for women's health because of the rhythms, these pesticides disrupt our rhythms. You know, the xenoestrogen, the organophosphate, they change the brain, causing neuroinflammation, excitatory neurotransmitter take control. We don't sleep as well. And we know the relationship between melatonin and breast cancer and a good night's sleep. So it all comes together. And there is the nourishing part that we can talk about soon, that will be what woman, every woman needs to emphasize, and then the cleanup to allow the nourishment to happen. And that's a dialogue we go through our life every single day. Every cell does it, and we do it throughout our life, you know? It's an ongoing process between detox, nourishment, and transformation in between.
Exactly, exactly. And I totally agree with you about no amount of pesticide should be acceptable. I know a lot of the labs I work with, I run levels on patients, and they say, oh, it's fine unless it's over the 80% or something. And I'm like, no, no, no. No, no, no. We can't normalize that it's okay to have 80% toxins in our body. That's just absurd to me. And so,
but especially as you know, when at the same time they have a little bit of heavy metals and they have mycotoxins, right, and they didn't sleep enough. And, you know, it all adds together and the cell, you know, is bombarded. You know, people don't realize we are made from 50 trillion cells, okay? Trillion, okay? Not million, not billion, trillion. And each cell has close to 1 million reactions a second. Can you even imagine this ongoing movement? It's really infinite number, and we still function as one being, which for me, I love saying it, each of us is a walking miracle. Mm-hmm. And how do we do it? By creating and recognizing that we are a community. As long as a cell realizes it's part of a bigger reality, it accepts that it's going to express itself and it's going to die. When we go into a survival mode, when a cell goes into survival mode and doesn't want to die, it will create a microenvironment driven by Galactin 3. It will create its own environment, its own rules, its own metabolism. It starts growing fast. And how do we call it? We call it cancer, or we call it autoimmunity, or we call it, but cancer is a classical one. And from this sense, the breast cancer is a classical spot because it's not really an organ, you know, that has metabolism like the stomach, like the liver. And it's has such a high a percentage of fatty tissue that it can store a lot of toxins. You know, interesting, even now, 60 years after DDT has been abandoned in Israel, 60 years, you find elevated levels in DDT in women's breast. Mm-hmm. 60 years. So imagine glyphosate being sprayed every day in the ground, right? 1 pound per year per person. It bioaccumulates. So it goes into these areas that are bioaccumulating, and then at some point it becomes too much and it disrupts our metabolism. So this idea of coming to harmony, the reason why I'm emphasizing it, because in Chinese medicine, this we call it the feminine principle. Women have the ability to create community. Women have the ability to nourish, right? It's a part of giving birth, Mother Earth. And this has been disrupted with a crazy pace, with a xenoestrogen, with not sleeping, and working at night and sleep cycles. So as a result, it has a major effect on women's health and specifically on women and estrogen related cancers, which are much more than breast cancer. People don't know. Colon cancer has estrogen receptor, lung cancer has estrogen receptors, thyroid cancer has estrogen receptors, glioblastoma has estrogen receptors. So many, many cancers can respond to abnormal estrogen metabolism and to hormones that relate to estrogen, such as prolactin. I don't want to get too technical. So the basic thing is we want to come into harmony. So the survival, understanding the survival paradox and balancing Galactin 3 is one important piece. Mm-hmm. And then also allowing us to metabolize estrogens properly, which, you know, so much of your work is, what are the estrogens breaking into? Are they breaking into good estrogens or into cancer promoting estrogen? Well, this depends in some level to our genetic and SNPs, but also to how loaded is our liver with other tasks? How backed up is the liver with toxins? I mean, if you gave people who have like issue of liver detoxification, if you give them a break for a month where the toxic input would be minimized, they will clean the backup and suddenly they can do well even with partial capacity. but we are always in this struggle that we have to catch up and survive. And that's where the survival paradox is, is a profound concept. In the book, I explain it in a big way, and then I go into metabolism, and I go into every organ, and into immunity, and into the microbiome, and then I give the solution, of course, detoxification, how to transform our scars of survival, and how to free the survival paradox, which is really a meditative process that we are all capable of doing. We're all capable of doing, but from a biochemical level, the reason why I feel that blocking galactin 3 is the most important supplement. And I didn't say this even 5 years ago. Maybe five I already said, but 10 years ago. If you look at my health programs 15 years ago, not everybody got Pectosol. Now I'm saying it because the research is overwhelming. In kidney, in liver, in lungs, in heart, in brain, in inflammation, in autoimmunity, in cancer, in sepsis. I published some very important papers because when the body goes into a loop of survival and cannot turn off, everything catches on fire. When everything catches on fire, nothing stays fresh and nothing stays intact, you know?
So are you saying modified citrus pectin is something everyone should be taking preventatively?
Number one, if I don't take one supplement, it would be modified citrus pectin, because we can get our vitamin and minerals from food. We can get a lot of stuff, you know, and there are a lot of great things. I take a lot of things, but we got to block galactin 3. So it can reduce galactin 3 if we are more relaxed, if we have good hydration, so there is better communication, less inflammation, if we sleep well, but we have lost this world, you know, only few people can really keep to it. And in this sense, if we look at centenarians compared to people in the 70s and 80s, the centenarians, which include within them in the 70s, 80s, the centenarians have much lower levels of galactin 3, which goes with age. Now the people who are 70 and 80 has a few people who will make it to be over 100 years old. Because if we are surviving, if we are living by creating a stronger survival response that creates more inflammation and fibrosis, it's going to shorten our life. And the beauty of it is that we know the biochemistry, we are not guessing, because when you have galactin 3 coming outside the cell, or if you have inflammation and danger coming, the macrophage turn into inflammatory macrophage. Macrophages are the immune cells that clean the mess. And when they become more inflamed, they excrete in the area of the problem more galactin 3, which then will block the insulin receptors and will attenuate the normal metabolic function. It will block AMPK, and which produces normal energy. It will enhance mTOR1. The cell is not getting oxygen now. Hypoxia-inducing factor goes up. PDK, for the people who know biochemistry, gets activated. Mitochondria gets shut down. We go into glycolysis very fast, very devastating. And in the root of cancer becoming more aggressive, autoimmunity, diabetes, etc. So this is extracellularly. There are some compounds who can help intracellularly. Berberine, curcumin, honoclil is a very big one. But here we see how a systemic effect of galactin 3 is going into the cell and into our metabolism. And in this sense, every cell, including a cancer cell, has a choice to turn into a normal cell. If we could get a cancer cell to take a deep breath and relax and not feel in danger, and in my book, you will see I have a personal relationship with the cell, the psychology of the cell, because the cell is our smallest independent unit. The mitochondria also within the cell, right? But looking at the cell, it has a boundary. It decides what it takes out in. It decides what it puts out. It decides what it wants, what it doesn't want. And it has a relationship with the environment, just like we do. So if we can get the cell to feel everything is okay, it's going to be okay. It's not all on you. You do your job, and then when the time comes, you know, just like everything changes, your time will come. Now just relax. The cell takes a deep breath. The mitochondria opens up. There's no more HIF. Hypoxia-inducing factors, there's oxygen. We produce 36 ATP from one molecule of glucose. That's the value of intermittent fasting. We give a break to this pattern of all the time struggling. And then suddenly the cell becomes normal. So that's a process of re-differentiation, you know, getting a cell to be less cancer cell, for example, to be less aggressive. Often with post-radiation, post-chemotherapy, we get more stem cells, we get cancer cells to be more aggressive. Why? Because they survived the treatment. Right? We just talked about it. And when you survive something, all your survival mechanisms are enhanced. And the result is more inflammation, more struggle, more fire. So it's a dialogue that happens in the way we live our life, in the way we feel, we think, we treat ourselves, we treat others. And there are supplements and dietary changes. I'm sure a lot of them, you know, your guests discussed. But I want to offer here a little bit of a bigger model, because we do have a choice. With every breath, with every thought, we have a choice. Are we going to struggle and fight and survive? I fall into this, you fall, everybody falls. Or we're going to just realize, you know, everything is changeable, and we just drop the reactivity. And it's really the final solution, which is very hard to actually, it's the deepest way to transform the survival paradox is by connecting with our heart, I mentioned, and why it's not just like a buzzword. Because every cell in the body, every organ in the body takes nourishment and lets go of what they consider toxin, what they don't want. That's what toxin is, right? I mean, one food for certain animal, they love it, and the other species, it's toxic for them. So this is why, because every cell wants to survive. The only organ in the body whose survival responsibility is to take the toxic stuff from others, connect with the universe with the breath, and then give without judgment is our heart. So our heart is built to take all the struggles. And whatever comes to the heart, from the perspective of the heart, belongs to the past. It was already released by the cells before, right? Until it got to the heart. The heart connects with the universe in our. For the universe, our drama is not so big. It's been a lot. Now, when we say universe, it's not a buzzword. If you think about it, the molecule of air in your mouth right now is connected with the whole universe. There's no argument about it, right? So we are totally connected. That's why we have to keep our environment clean. If we don't keep our environment clean, we lose our filtration system, our nourishment system. And then it comes back to the heart. And the only thing the heart does, it offers blood with no judgment, right? The aorta is a rigid artery. And who does the heart nourish first? I love it when I came to this recognition and said, wow, I got to share this with the world. Who does the heart nourish first? It nourishes itself through the coronary arteries. So self-love is part of loving others, not narcissistic love. Because you know what's the other amazing thing about the heart? Very important for women's health, because women have the capacity to connect with the heart in a very, you know, it's built in. Interesting, the heart doesn't nourish itself unless it finishes its work. Every other organ gets blood and nourishment before. When does the heart nourish itself? When it finished its work and it puts the blood out. This is a selflessness of the heart. And women principle have this a lot, you know, the selfless mother, the giving, the nourishment, it's built in. And estrogen is a hormone that creates this nourishment. One of the ways that I like to look at it in nature, I'm a beekeeper. I've been a beekeeper in a very early age, and now I came back to it. Actually, I have some videos, and I thought maybe I'll share, but I don't know if it will work. But if you look at the beehive, it's a great example of women's health. First of all, it's a feminine-driven kingdom, community. It's ruled by the queen. Okay, the main principle is to fertilize the queen. When the beehive gets weak, all the men gets kicked out. Okay, every working bee is a female bee whose organs were not developed because they didn't take royal jelly. And the bee queen lays in the springtime eggs that are greater than her body weight every single day. So when you look at the beehive, and I just stand next to my beehive, it's like magic. And you see the community, you see the harmony, You see the selflessness. Every bee knows where it has to go to. How far is it getting nectar? Is it getting pollen? You see how community can work when it's not under survival, under stress. And so in this sense, it's a great, great analogy for women's health. And beehives are under existential threat, you know? And we all know, hear about it. They are being, last year, 60% of beehives died. 60. Okay. And it's really interesting. So last year I was giving different medicines to my bees and they died. This year I'm treating them holistically. I'm giving them my medicinal mushrooms. I'm giving them probiotic. I'm giving them protein. And they are doing so well because I'm supporting them, you know? So it's a great image, really. It's a great image. The bees are a great image for women's health. And in this sense, when our supply of estrogen is harmonized and when we break it properly, then estrogens are not damaging. The problem is that it doesn't happen as often. And that's why certain compounds like DIM is so important, you know, in combating breast cancer.
Beautiful, beautiful. I think you are a poetic biochemist. I love the visions and the analogies you bring in. They're beautiful. So what do you think breast cancer is really a toxic environmental problem? Do you think it's a genetic problem? What do you think is the,
you know, it's a great question. I think it's a combination. We know, I mean, American Cancer Society, you know, recognizes that the majority of cancers are environmentally driven, are lifestyle driven. And in this sense, we do have the genetics. And no, there is in Judaism, there is a beautiful saying in Hebrew saying, it says, "Akol tzafui v'arishut netuna," which means everything is predetermined, which is our genetic, but we have a choice, which is our epigenetics. So we can decide which gene is going to express itself or not, including the BRCA gene. So for example, there are studies on DIM showing that women with BRCA positive who take DIM, there is an improvement in the breast tissue compared to cancer risk, and there is a reduction in the abnormal BRCA expression. Amazing, right? This is the epigenetic expression. So in this sense, breast cancer, because of the tendency of the breast to accumulate heavy metals like mercury, for example, you know, and fat-soluble toxins and organophosphates and pesticides, and because of other issues that are more lifestyle that relate to the understanding of the breast from the flow of digestion, environment plays a big part in breast cancer. But of course, there's clear familial tendencies and genetic tendencies. It's often like I'm mainly a clinician and a healer, so you can see it in the pulse. You can see a breast cancer pattern in a woman when she's a teenager, and the same pattern at some point will come as cancer decades later, and you can change the pattern. You know, if you change the pattern, you change the driving force that is going to bring the breast cancer. And we know that, right, that culturally and geographically, there are areas with less cancer. And then once certain population change their diet, the cancer appears in the same way. So in this sense, breast cancer is very responsive to environmental manipulation and also needs to be addressed. And the interesting thing for me, you know, is that there are not a lot of supplements for breast cancer. It always blows my mind. There are like zillions of supplements for prostate, BPH and, you know, and this and that. I mean, there are some ingredients, you know. We did our work with Breast Defend. We started this like, I think over 20 years ago. We were really an aberration. You know, we did in vitro study, we did animal studies. We never got to proper clinical trials because it's hard to get big hospitals to really engage in an herbal base. But the thinking behind the formula was very much the thinking that I've explained today, and the recognition that women's breast health needs to be addressed as a standalone issue in relationship to the total body health. And for some reason, no, it didn't pick up enough. There's not enough attention into it, even now, you know? And I think it's critical. And also for women to know that breast cancer, when found early on, have a great prognosis. You know, I mean, 93% of women, it's at, you know, stage one with a small tumor will survive and will not die from breast cancer. So, but there's no doubt that it's driven by all these inflammation, survival-driven factors like we mentioned, like pesticides and mycotoxin and heavy metals and stress and abnormal sleep patterns. So for women to really recognize, menopause is a very sudden change for women. Men, testosterone goes down. For women, you know, there's a hormone and then boom, it's a major shift. And we're not always prepared for it, right? Women, because it's hard to prepare, your body is used. So the preparation for menopause should really start in the 40s by understanding that at some point, this is going to shift. There's going to be less nourishment. You know, estrogen drops, different other, you know, heat, like heat, inflammation, hot flashes, a response is going to really happen there. We have to deal with it differently than during the years of fertility. But anything that can keep rhythms in women is critical, because women are based, women have a lunar based, a monthly cycle. I know. And even the moon, it's very important to recognize the lunar energy is very soft, is very feminine compared to the sun, which is very strong. And so women often will be in tune with the lunar cycle. Women in communities get their period in the same time. There's a community element. So anything women can do to maintain the rhythm, like waking in the same time, sleeping in the same time, sleeping in a real dark room, so you really allow your melatonin to really go up. Having good hydration. Why is good hydration so important? Because hydration is nourishment. It brings moisture to the body. And estrogen bring moisture to the body. Estrogen is a building, nourishing hormone. It builds the endometrium, you know? It builds it up. It has the ability to create. When we are balanced, it will create healthy tissue. When we're imbalanced, it will create unhealthy tissue. So really understanding rhythm and what we can do about it. That's why if you look at our herbal-based supplement, and one of them is not there anymore because we're not good in marketing. One is based on building blood and energy early age, and the other one is built on nourishing, on building nourishment and fluidity in the postmenopausal, different basic Chinese herbal formula. Liu Wei Di Wang Guan, postmenopausal and Bajian Tang, the eight treasures during years of fertility. So it's a movement. And the more we can respect it, the healthier we'll be. And it's a challenge now. It's a challenge with the COVID, with isolation, with lack of diversity, with a struggle in opinions politically, like COVID, yes vaccine, no vaccine, yes mask, no mask, I'm right, they are not right. It creates a struggle. The community sense is really weakened, and it has a direct effect on women's health.
Mm. So many nuggets in there. I'd like to go back to a few things. So you mentioned Breast Defend, your supplement. What exactly is in that?
So Breast Defend is a really interesting supplement. It has six ingredients, but they're not as obvious. So the leading compound is DIM, which is a metabolite of I3C, which has a very important effect in all kind of breast cancer cells, estrogen positive, triple negative, and HER2 new. And our studies on this formula, cell line and animals, we actually tested on both estrogen positive and triple negative. So that's like the head of the of the pyramid. Then we have a Scutellaria, which is an herb studied a lot for breast cancer. And then we have quercetin and curcumin. Quercetin specifically prevent drug resistance to some of the chemotherapy drugs like adriamycin and anti-inflammatory, and curcumin, which helps circulation and normalizes the cell. And then we have astragalus. And astragalus is the immune supporting herb, but astragalus from an esoteric Chinese medicine herbology, it's also a community herb. So we give it as kind of to bring back the sense of community within strengthening of the immune system. And then we have three medicinal mushrooms. I'm big on medicinal mushrooms. One of them unusual, Phelinus, which is not used often, which is specifically for breast health, and Coriolis and Reishi. But we take these herbs and we grow them on immune enhancing, anti-cancer, adaptogenic herbs. So we feed them botanicals, which are good for breast health and for immunity and for circulation. And the mushrooms potentiate these properties. Mushrooms have a way to ferment and potentiate ingredients. So it's surprising, you know, I created this formula and I created a prostate formula. Prostate formula had 33 ingredients. This one had only 6. The breast defense had amazing results, as supportive nutritional, adjunct nutritional support together with hormonal therapy, with AIs, aromatase inhibitors, together with tamoxifen. It has really been of great benefit, and we showed that it's synergistic with modified citrus spectrin. We published on it. It has a synergistic effect.
Fantastic.
And so it's very potent. So like just for general breast health maintenance for women with no risk, one capsule a day will do it. Maybe one capsule twice a day. If you are dealing with an active issue and you want to have the proper oncological nutritional support, you need to go up to 3 twice a day with food. So it is different dosages are geared towards different people.
So what do you think about women who are metabolizing and like their 2:16 ratio is fine and giving them DIM even if their ratio is fine?
I think that DIM in general has a lot of other properties. So I would still give them DIM. But if their metabolism is fine, I would give them like a lower dose. So if we look at the breast defense, just 2 twice a day. And watch the change in the metabolism, definitely. And again, the metabolism of 2:16 is less significant in postmenopausal because the level of estrogens are very low, you know.
Right. But if someone's on BHRT,
right,
and you got to be careful because if you lower 16 too much, then they're at risk for osteoporosis potentially.
Right. Exactly. So you have to watch all of these. So for us, for example, I give this and then I give the Rhythm Gold to give the nourishment, you know, so they work.
What is Rhythm Gold?
Rhythm Gold is a specific multinutrient for women that we actually created almost 3 decades ago that we upgraded on a regular basis. And it provides the nourishment to work with the breast defense. So, and you know, so women will report that their hot flashes is better, their joint pains are better, their memory seems better, but it's more from a nourishment perspective. It's not that we are treating a symptom, we are creating a more harmonized environment. And yeah, it's an excellent supplement.
I love the name of it. And you mentioned before, and I'm sure some women are stuck on this, you said there's a pattern that you can detect in even young women that says they're going to have breast cancer. Could you speak a little more to that? I'm sure women are going, what's the pattern? How do I know?
The pattern in the pulse is a pattern of struggle. It's a pattern of roughness. Often for people who know Chinese medicine, then when they look at the pulse, they look at the quality and they describe it. So they say the pulse is rough. But how does a rough sensation come from the pulse, which is supposed to flow in one area? It's when it flows in two directions, there is a struggle. So if you see the struggle along the stomach channels in this area, you know the area is under pressure. And if it's from a very early age, it's probably, and the family has breast cancer, you know it's a certain pattern. So it comes also from a behavior, because often in general, and in women it can be more often, the idea of self-acceptance, accepting and loving yourself. I want to be prettier, I want to be people don't accept themselves. When we digest our food and we accept our nourishment, the energy goes down. When we rebel and we don't accept, the energy goes up. And the stomach channel is right along the breast. So that's where it meets. Now, when into it is built frustration and anger and traumas, the gallbladder and liver get involved. And then you move to the side channels. And then you get axillary lymph nodes spread. So based on the patterns, the cancer will be less aggressive or more aggressive. So as long as we can clear the stomach channel and nourish the yin and the spleen and the earth element, we are clearing this pattern. And for example, one area in the body where nourishment and community is very strong is between us and our microbiome. Our microbiome is 100 trillion organisms. And when the microbiome is healthy, we don't get leaky gut, we don't get systemic inflammation, we don't get narrow inflammation that affects the whole body, and we get better digestive system, better immunity. We know in cancer, if you give immunotherapies and you disrupt the microbiome or the microbiome is imbalanced, it doesn't work. Amazing. The microbiome is part of its supportive synergistic effect, supports treatment that help us, because it also helps the microbiome. If we die, the microbiome is not going to survive. So in this sense, the digestion, the nourishment, the earth element, which is hard to, it's hard to really build. You know, now, for example, SIBO is an epidemic. Everybody has small intestine bacterial overgrowth. Why? Because of lack of diversity, because of disruption to our community in the gut. Same principle like what we talked today. Mm-hmm. So in this sense, the nourishment, the acceptance, and the rhythmic movement, and the eating properly, they all go to the same place. They all go. So,
yeah. I appreciate that you bring up the stomach meridian and the connection, because I always talk about the teeth and the upper molars that lay, the breast tooth that lays on the stomach meridian. We see so many problems.
Huge. Yeah. I want to reemphasize this. It's always for women with breast cancer, check your molars, because you'll be amazed. You have women who don't know even if they have like an abscess that only an ICAT will show, and you deal with it, and suddenly they respond to the chemotherapy, they didn't respond. Yeah. Yeah, definitely a lot. So I'm glad that you're emphasizing it. That's the same, because these teeth relate to the digestive system. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, and community, I mean, I think that's just so beautiful and so important. I have a dream post-summit of creating communities, red tent communities, where women can come together and nurture and grow and be in harmony, because tend and befriend, women do much better. It improves their immune system when we are in community, when we have a sisterhood.
And so, yeah, it's really a lesson for, as a man, I can say it. You know, if you look, for example, women CEOs are much more successful. Like in all my organization, they always put a woman in charge.
Smart.
I'm smart, you know. I mean the principle of community is so important, and the insight. So women, you know, people are, we all have the ability for insight, but we lost the ability to take the time to really see it anymore. But for women, it's critical. They can't afford to lose this part in them. It's who they are, you know?
Yes.
And then once you push to the fighting mode and now there is work, it's more for, you know, for evening out inequality, but still it's a struggle, you know? The inequality is still there. And you always have to prove yourself, you know? It creates a struggle, and struggle is counterproductive to nourishment, to just being receptive. You know, the womb, the uterus is a receptive organ. You know, so this receptivity, this community, this nourishment, it's very powerful. And that's why if we look at miracles in the clinic, most of them are women. And if they are not women, they are men who got connected with their feminine quality and had a woman next to them. I mean, you can see in the stories in my book, or certain people who just let go and accept it. So in my book, I sprinkle different stories of patients, because the patient is who really who we learn from. We just have to have the wisdom to just sit quietly and watch, you know?
Yes. Where is your clinic located?
So my clinic is in Santa Rosa. And when I say that I'm a pioneer in therapeutic apheresis, is in this concept of filtering the plasma, which is used in the United States. It's very limited. It's used mainly for high cholesterol genetically, but I use it for inflammatory conditions, a lot with cancer. So I'm considered what you call in professional language, a disruptor on a global level. And I have, you know, that's why I have NIH grants. And the idea is that you treat the person outside their body because you're filtering the plasma outside the body. It's bigger than us. So there are no side effects. So it's a complex process. It's similar to dialysis, but a little bit more specific and very, very safe. And it really reduces inflammation for Lyme disease, for long haul COVID, and of course for cancer together with treatments. Because
Is this like einusphoresis? Because one of the clinics I work with in Switzerland does einusphoresis.
Yes, so they also do this, but their apheresis is not as selective. So they are very good in removing, for example, antibodies, but they also remove your albumin and other proteins, and you know, so you feel very tired. When the apheresis is more selective, you don't feel tired because you're removing specifically the inflammatory part in the plasma.
Are you the only one doing this in the country?
Well, I started. Now there are a few people. I've been doing it for a decade. I'm literally, you know, I speak in all the big international conferences. I publish in it. I'm a researcher in it. Now it's starting to, some people are developing. But yeah, I can comfortably say that I am the apheresis guy in the United States. And there are some people who are hearing about it, but it's a specialty. So I really focus on it now. You know, I look at every bag. It's a focus. It's not another thing somebody does because you really need to know. It's a powerful treatment. So yeah, so I work with many doctors and patients who do their care, and then they send me patients for the apheresis. And on the way, if they want, they get a little bit of my decades of understanding and insight, which is sometimes useful.
How do you have time to do research, clinical practice, take care of bees?
Well, I'll tell you how. And I swear, my family, I feel like I'm always on vacation. Because I love what I do and I take care of myself. You know, so I spend, for example, I spend some of the year in Hawaii, where I work. Right now I'm in Hawaii, I work very hard. So I start my day at 6. But for some reason at 7:30, there are no more meetings because I got to jog to the ocean. I swim a mile, I meditate, I come back, I work the day. And then when it's sunset here, it's already late everywhere else. I go watch the sunset, meditate again, I come back, I can do some calls internationally. So I always feel, you know, when you come from your heart and you're excited about what you do and you know you're making a difference. And for me, the reason why I'm suddenly on the summits, I was too busy treating and researching, is because I've been in this almost 50 years, you know. So I really distilled some insight with some of my crazy connections and the people I learned. So I feel like on a mission to share it with people, you know, just to share as much as I can. So I have in Israel, I teach a lot, you know, on volunteer basis, meditation and healing, because I really want to show that the mind can really heal anything. The mind can heal anything, but we need to help it sometime with the right food, with the right environment, and it really works. So I do have time. I somehow manage.
Well, we're glad you made time to be here with us today and share your brilliance. And I know you said you have a free gift.
I'll based on our conversation today, I will create a compilation of certain important chapters from my book about survival paradox and detox and how to deal with galactin 3. And I do recommend people read the book because it's not a book about what to do. There is 80 pages of protocol at the end. It will create a paradigm shift about how you think about life. Mm-hmm. Because our life journey is to transform our survival paradox. Mm. And our heart is built to do it. It does it anyway. So it's easy to connect to it because physiologically we're doing it. We just don't know it, you know? We just have to connect our mind and our conscience and our intention into what is happening anyway.
Mm, amen to that.
Totally.
Thank you for being here and contributing and with your poetic biochemistry. So I'm sure you all have a lot to take in, but there's some real beautiful nuggets in here. So be well, everyone, be blessed, and we'll be back with another interview.